ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
It's that important. Winds of doctrine have always been in the church since it started. Just read the letters that have been written. Most of them are dealing with false teaching. You know, we just finished up the letter from Jude, and that's the whole letter. I wanted to, you know, tell you about our faith, our common salvation, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I was constrained to tell you to contend earnestly for the faith that's been entrusted to you. Yeah, it was a problem. And understand that if healthy or sound doctrine is not being taught, all kinds of things will blow through that church, and people will grab a hold of them. They set their sails up, and they're, like Paul said in Ephesians, they're tossed to and fro. I told you before, you know, I don't even understand this one, but, you know, there's churches in California that their people go to grave sites of famous Christians, and they call it grave sucking, and they lay on these graves to suck the energy out from these people. Common sense, you know. But we've lost that because we moved away from the Word of God. You think that is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. Well, it's not the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. That's a sad thing. But when you stick to God's Word, you're not going to be tossed to and fro. You know, we see in Jeremiah 3:15, the Lord said, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Yeah. It's that important. During Jeremiah's day, what were they doing? It's very interesting because it's what we're doing today. Feel good message, right? You know, they even had people that dressed up. You know, put horns on your head. Oh, we're going to gore the enemy, the Babylonians. We're not going to lose this battle. We're going to be victorious. Those were the false prophets. And they were very good because everyone listened. And Jeremiah tried to warn them. And God said to Jeremiah, finally, you know what? Jeremiah, don't pray for these people anymore. They're going into captivity. It's over. They're going into captivity. We need pastors who are willing to feed the sheep and nourish them, give them the knowledge of God according to his word, and opened up by the Spirit of God. One writer said, the greatest need of the church today is not less doctrine, but more doctrine about God, about salvation, about ourselves, about character, about church, about family. Our greatest need is to know God better, and we can learn more only from his word. Absolutely. And the truth will set you free from the lies. It's very obvious. You know, there is so much false teaching out there and false doctrine, false information. And you could study it for your entire life, and there'll always be more. Always. But if you know the truth, when you hear something false, it's exposed. Okay, look at this is what the Bible says. This is what you say. You're wrong because of this. So the reason to stay for Timothy was to deal with these false teachers, to give the people there in Ephesus the truths of God found in the Word of God so they can grow, so they won't be tossed to and fro. You know, Paul's going to say in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they're going to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. But Paul tells Timothy, you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. It's going to be tough. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Well, the next point here is the reason to correct. Look at verse 5 here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So as you read this, it seems like some of the leaders were teaching a Jewish type of legalistic doctrine and goes against the scriptures. And God's interested in our heart. Why? Because when he gets a hold of our heart, then our actions will change. A legalistic view, though, is what? Clean up the outside. Clean up our actions. But on the inside, Jesus said, you're filled with dead men's bones and you're like whitewashed tombs. You look real nice, but you're dead. And Paul starts out, he says, very simple. You should have a love from a pure heart. It's an agape love that comes from God. But think about it. On the other end of the spectrum is a legalistic view. What twists God's word is very harsh and judgmental, not loving towards people, looking down upon them, think we're better than they are. When you teach sound doctrine, it promotes unity, love, not disunity and disputes. Love from a pure heart. And the word pure in the Greek means to clean or unmixed. We get our English word cathartic from. And a cathartic is an agent used by a doctor to cleanse the body. What does that mean to us? On an emotional level, a catharsis can speak of a person who's cleansed from anger, bitterness, all kinds of destructive emotions. And the spiritual catharsis, the cleansing of the inner man. And once that's done, then these other issues, anger, bitterness, destructive emotions, can be dealt with. But you first have to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You have to come to saving faith. And it's after that the sanctification process begins. Paul also speaks of being unmixed or undiluted, that word can be. I'll give you an example. When we go out to eat after church, Mickey will order root beer. He only drinks the good stuff, the good root beer. But he does something that's very interesting. He doesn't add ice. Why? Because it dilutes it. It loses its flavor. It's not as good. And that's the whole idea here. You don't want things that are diluted. Think of gold, all the impurities in it. When you remove those impurities, it's undiluted. It's unmixed with the dross. It's pure. And for us, we're to have a heart that's totally given over to God, not diluted with the things of this world, a love for this world. Don't have a divided heart. And what I find interesting is that the church today wants to be like the world. And as we read the scriptures, it's the opposite. God tells us, you're not to be like the world, you're to be like who? Jesus, right? And the world doesn't like Jesus, so the world's not necessarily going to like you. But that's not the issue. The issue is, are you shining for Jesus? Because if you are, then the Holy Spirit can work on the hearts of individuals. And that's the important issue. Give your heart over to the Lord. Paul also says that we're to have a good conscience or living as God desires. Now, again, we're not perfect, but in a legalistic view, we end up condemned, knowing we're never going to measure up to the standard of God, perfection. And the devil loves to condemn us. Years ago, at the church I used to go to, there was a woman who came from a very legalistic church. You know, you don't sin anymore. And she was just beaten up. She was condemned all the time. She felt worthless before God, didn't even know if she was a Christian. And so she came to Calvary, and my pastor talked with her and explained about grace. And she stayed there for a while. But after a while, she just had to go back to that church. And she did. And it was so devastating, she committed suicide. She couldn't get past the fact that she didn't live up to the standards that they had set. And what was interesting is the sister of that woman who committed suicide called my pastor and asked him to do the service because she did not want anything to do with that church. Grace is wonderful because we don't deserve anything, and he gives it to us. Legalism condemns us and makes us feel worthless. Does that draw us closer to God? Absolutely not. You know, conviction draws us to God. Condemnation pushes us away. And why do we believe what the devil is saying to us? Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are feeling condemned this morning, you're listening to the wrong person. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. None. Not that we're perfect. Not that we don't need to change. But God's love for us is unconditional. And I'm so thankful for that. Conviction draws us closer to God. Lord, help me in this area. We know we've done wrong. And he's right there to lift us up. When he was walking on the Sea of Galilee, and disciples are in the boat, Peter walks out to him, right? And he starts to sink. What did Jesus say to Peter? Oh, Peter, come on. Just go ahead and drown. I'm done with you, man. How could you do this? No, he reaches out and he lifts him up. There's our God, guys. Don't listen to the devil. Jesus is always there. When you're beaten and feel worthless, listen to Jesus and reach out your hand to him, and he's going to lift you up. Are we worthy of his love? Absolutely not, but that's grace. You know, we think, if I can only be better, God will love me more. Are you kidding me? You were at your worst when he died for your sins. See, now that you're a child of God, do you think his love is going to wax and wane? Our love does, and that's the problem. We think about God loving us like we love. No, God's love is unconditional, and he keeps drawing us back. But the devil always wants to push us away. So if you're feeling condemned and you're being pushed away from God, you need to turn back to Jesus and listen to him. Now, make no mistake about it, God has put his laws upon our heart. He's given us a warning system when we do something wrong. It's called our conscience. And that's a good thing. That warning system goes off, right? You know, last night, poor Diane, she had come to the church, and for whatever reason, the alarm system, we have a one-minute delay because, you know, we're getting older and it takes me time to get over to the alarm system to turn it off. It went off instantaneously. That was a warning. And I got the warning on my phone. Do you want us to call the police? I looked who was there. Oh, that would be fun, but no, I won't call the police. No, you don't have to send the police. It's fine. That's the warning system that God has given us, right? We're going to do something, and God says, no, danger. Remember Lost in Space? Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, the robot. That's what God's doing in our lives. Now, we can harden our hearts to what God is doing. Hey, you know what? Everybody's doing it. Don't worry about it, right? We harden our hearts to what God is trying to tell us. But God is always showing us what's right and what's wrong. Paul also says we're to have a sincere faith. In other words, don't be hypocritical. A legalistic view, we tend to trust in our own ability to please God. Yeah, I can do it. And sincere just speaks unhypocritical faith that doesn't wear a mask. You know, when they used to do plays long ago, they would wear masks and they have the big smiles or the big frowns for the expressions because, you know, if you sat in the nosebleed section, you couldn't see their faces, but these big masks would show their expressions. And God says, I don't want you to wear a mask. I want you to be real. And for these people that are hypocritical, they strayed. They've turned aside to fables. They've turned aside to fairy tales. They moved away from the true faith. And I think as you read this, I think Paul was talking about the Judaizers who had infiltrated the church in Ephesus. And the Judaizers were an interesting group of people. They would go around after Paul was in an area teaching about salvation by grace, and they say, you guys need Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, you need Jesus. But you also have to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised. They're adding works to salvation. Salvation is a grace gift. If you add works to it, it's not grace anymore. God owes you heaven, which is not true. And you can't, it's kind of like oil and water. The law and grace don't mix. And what was going on back then, we see it around today. You know, groups like the Hebrew Roots Movement and others that try and add the law to salvation. It's, yeah, I don't understand it, but they do, and they add all kinds of things. You got to be baptized. You got to join the church. You have to tithe. You have to keep the law, you have to do penance, you have to say the rosary, light a candle, whatever. It's good works. Did Jesus finish the work on the cross of Calvary? Absolutely. How do I know? He said, it is finished. Now, if he would have said, it's finished, my work's done, good luck, I hope you make it. He didn't say that. He said, tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. I'm so thankful for that. Paul in 1 Timothy 1:7, they want to become famous as teachers of the laws of Moses when they haven't the slightest idea what those laws really show. Living Bible. Paul says that the self-appointed teachers of the law don't know what they're talking about, and therefore their lofty rhetoric was meaningless. Yeah. So these guys were clueless about what true faith was all about. They went back to the law and tried to add that to grace, and you can't. And so that was the reason to correct them. And Paul's going to deal with this whole issue of law and grace as we finish up this morning in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary or opposed to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So, there's this debate today again about law and grace. And to me, this is like basic Christianity, okay? This is really simple. It's not complicated at all. James 2:10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. That's pretty simple. 613 commandments. You mess one, you're guilty of all of them. How many commands did God give Adam and Eve? One. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How did they do? Not good. So we think we're going to do better. Isn't that pride? Yeah, I can do better. Really? They couldn't keep one, and you're going to keep all these. Good luck on that. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Again, you don't have to know Greek to understand that. It's really simple. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Wow, how much clearer. And there's many more, but just one, Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Here's the thing. The law is not evil. The law is not bad. The law is perfect. We're not. And that's the problem. You know, what is the law there for? The law is there to bring us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you realize God is holy, righteous, perfect, there's no darkness in him at all, and you cannot approach him in your own righteousness, which is like filthy rags, how do I get saved? By the righteousness of Christ imputed in my life by faith. Faith in Jesus. You see, the law, there's nothing wrong with it, but all the law does, the law is like a mirror. It shows you how you look, right? And let's face it, you know, this is why I cut my hair really short, because when I would get up in the morning, I'm like, oh my, how am I going to fix this? My hair is like everywhere. I have colics that I don't even know how, colics upon colics on my hair, you know, it's horrible. So I just figure, you know what? Just shave it off, you know, much easier, right? The mirror can't make me look better. It just shows me who I am. Here's God's word. When I read it, it doesn't make me better. It shows me who I am, and that apart from Christ, I am lost in my sins. Think about when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary. What did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why did the Father turn from the Son? because of the sins of the world were placed upon him, and God could not look upon his son in favor when the sins of the world were placed on him. Why do we think we are going to, that God is just going to accept us when he turned from his son during those 3 hours? You see, for us guys, the law, we don't follow the civil or judicial law, the ceremonial law. Those are done away with. They're done away with when the Rome invaded Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. You can't do the ceremonial laws. There's no temple anymore. Civil or judicial laws are done away with. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, those are written on our hearts. We don't do them for our salvation. We do them because we love the Lord. You know, do we really think that the Ten Commandments are bad? Thou shalt not murder? Well, I'm in Christ now. I guess I can kill someone. No, you can't. Read the New Testament, okay? Jesus talked about that. But it's not for our salvation. We live this way because we love the Lord and it's our identification with him. And I think it's important for us to understand that. In fact, Paul in Romans 7:12 said, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Yep, that's the reality. You know, our problem is that we're not righteous before God. And we need Jesus. We need, like I said, his righteousness imputed into our lives by faith. We cannot do this on our own. Salvation is a grace gift. We don't deserve it, but he freely gives it to us. And I'm not going to argue that point. Why would I want to? God has given me eternal life. He loves me that much. And because he loves me that much, I want to honor him. Think about a marriage relationship, guys. I've told you this before. My wife does not have a bunch of commandments. You know, she went out to Colorado. She didn't put a bunch of commandments on the wall. Things I can do, things I can't do. You know, it doesn't even say that I can't go out with other women. I know, shocking, isn't it? There is no command on the wall that says I can't go out with them. Then why don't I? Because I love my wife. It's based on love. And that's what God wants from us. Not some command written on tablets of stone, but a command that's written on the tablets of our heart. That we love him so much that we don't want to do anything that would dishonor him. I like that. You know, here in verse 10, Paul again speaks of sound doctrine, healthy. Yeah, that's what we need. You know, I may not be a very charismatic speaker, flamboyant and all that. But you know what? I teach the Word of God, and you know, I've been doing it for 28 years. And this is what God has called me to do. And I will do it until I can't do it anymore. Is it easy? No. You know, Warren Wiersbe, talking about Sir Ernest Shackleton, and the ad he put in the newspaper, wrote this. If Jesus Christ had advertised for workers, the announcement might have read something like this. Men and women wanted for difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward will not come till after all your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, even your life. Wow. There's the battle, guys. That's what we need to understand. That's what Timothy needed to understand. Timothy, you need to complete this work. You need to stay focused. Paul, at the end of his life, and I'll close with this, said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Guys, I would encourage you, fight the good fight of faith. Finish that race that God has for you. Keep the faith, because the battle is intense and it's only going to get more intense. But you know what God has called you to do? Complete the work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words because we need to hear them. We need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged. And sometimes it's easy to lose focus. I look at Moses and I look at King David and just how they admonished Moses did Joshua and David did his son Solomon to continue following you and don't lose sight that you are the one, that you are in control. You will lead them in the way that they should go. And Lord, the same is true for us. We just need to follow you. Lord, we thank you. I pray for anyone here that is going through some struggling times, maybe feeling condemned and beaten up. Lord, help them to see your love, that you love them unconditionally, and you will help them. You will lift them up like you did with Peter, who was sinking in the water, and you will pull them up. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your patience, your understanding, how you never give up on us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.